Now, with the number of positive COVID-19 cases surging in parts of Wisconsin and around the country, officials are trying to take steps to slow the spread. As of this morning, Dane County no longer allows indoor service at bars, outside still okay, and restaurants can only open their indoor capacity now to 25%. In addition, Dane County Executive Joe Parisi told WKOW-TV that you might have to wear a mask over your face when you go out in public. Here are a couple of his clips.
I think it's a very real possibility. Right now, everything's on the table. If we're not able to get this under control and under control quickly, guidelines will continue to tighten.
Also today, a Milwaukee Common Council member introduced a plan to require mask wearing in public. The Common Council is expected to vote on that this coming Tuesday. On the state level, Texas announced a face mask requirement this afternoon for counties with at least 20 coronavirus cases. Kansas will become the 19th state tomorrow to impose a mandate. Our neighbors Michigan and Illinois already do. But Governor Evers' administration says don't expect Wisconsin to follow suit because of the state Supreme Court ruling against the stay-at-home order. Robert Kahn is a professor of law at the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis and an expert in mask law. Rob, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, there are strong feelings, clearly, on both sides of this mask debate. Why, for us Americans, I guess in particular, why has this become such a touchy subject?
I think in some ways it's just a perfect storm. I think there is a red versus blue divide that maps onto everything. I think some of the initial rollout on both sides on the part of the president, who didn't want to wear a mask, and part of public health officials who pushed masking in a very broad way led to an ideal situation where people treated mask wearers or mask abstainers as symbols rather than people.
You were quoted in a newspaper article recently saying that this goes back more than a century, at least to that that so-called misnamed Spanish flu outbreak of just over 100 years ago. Are we having the same kind of arguments as we had then?
Yeah, I mean, there are a great deal of similarities to it. Masks are a wonderful tool. They help you open up businesses and do things. At the same time, there's just a tendency for police, unelected public health officials and the like to over enforce mask bans so that what happens, and you know, anecdotally, I live in Minnesota where they're considering having a statewide mask ban. People don't wear the mask when nobody's looking, when they're not worried about getting stopped by a police officer, where they're not in a store that demands it. And it leads to a kind of credibility issue because you wind up giving the state discretionary power to enforce mask wearing, but you're also told, well, gee, and it's gotten much better. But like 3 or 4 weeks ago, the message was whenever you go outside, wear a mask. Now there's uncertainty in the California mask mandate and the Pennsylvania one and Kansas that, well, gee, if you're outside and you can socially distance, maybe you don't mask. If you have speaking to someone who needs to lip read, maybe you don't need a mask. They're getting better. I think there's learning, but I think that there's still a sense of lack of trust on both sides of the mask debate.
And when it comes to enforcement, I know there have been some concerns about, you know, if we have this mask mandate, but it's kind of selectively enforced. I know people in New York and I think Philadelphia raised concerns that mask mandates were more aggressively enforced for African Americans in particular. Do you see that as a concern now around the country?
I think that's a huge issue. It's a huge issue because as one of the studies that advocated mask wearing pointed out, mask wearing is an issue for African Americans to begin with because of the tendency to associate mask wearing with criminality and risk. So I think that's a real problem. There's actually a town in Oregon, I'm forgetting the name, or a county, that apparently exempted people of color from their mask ordinances because of a concern that wearing the mask will cause a problem. So it's a very difficult position that over-enforcement of mask laws can put people of color in.
We're talking about mask ordinances with Robert Kahn, professor of law at the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis. You can join in with your thoughts. Should masks be required by towns, by state governments, at whatever level? Join in at 800-642-1234. Robert, when it comes to state and local and county governments, for that matter, ability to actually impose a law like this, I don't know, is it a patchwork around the country, what actual authority we have?
It actually seems like in many states there is authority. The Wisconsin legislature v. Palm decision from about 6 weeks ago is an outlier. To some extent, it's a perfect storm. It reflects Governor Scott Walker's Rule 21 that restricted the scope of the administrative state. Most other states don't have an issue with this, so Wisconsin is really in a different situation because the stay-at-home order itself was thrown out. So there are some questions about whether a municipality could enact a mask law, although from what I've read, I'm not an expert on administrative law. That's a separate question and seems to be worth figuring out.
Now we see Texas today, the Texas governor who had steered clear of mask requirements, saying, yes, we're going to require masks in counties with, I think it was 20 or more positive coronavirus tests. Does it surprise you to see even a state that might have been as resistant as Texas now saying, yes, we are going to require masks in certain circumstances?
It does, though. What's interesting is, well, one thing is just the spike in Texas, and I think that goes to, you know, we don't know what's really driving the spike. It is going to lead to changed opinions about stuff. The 20 cases thing is interesting because one of the places where there's a lot of pushback is I'm in a rural area. COVID hasn't come here yet. I don't see the need to mask. And it has a little bit of a safety valve there. You know, hopefully a bunch of Texas, a bunch of counties remain spared and there aren't 20 cases, but presumably that would eventually cover the entire state.
We're talking about whether governments can and should compel people to wear masks during this pandemic. Law professor Robert Kahn is with us from the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you been wearing a mask? In what circumstances? If so, would you like to see a mandate from your local government, county government, state government, at the federal level, maybe just in certain situations or certain guidelines, as we just heard about in Texas? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our conversation about government mandates to wear masks in public. Dane County thinking about it. The city of Milwaukee expected to vote on a measure next week. The Evers administration says its hands are tied after the state Supreme Court struck down safer at home orders back in May. Several states, do require masks. Texas joining the list, at least in certain circumstances. Robert Kahn is with us, law professor at the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis. He's been quoted a lot lately on mask law around the country, and you can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Do you think people should wear masks in public during this pandemic? And should there be laws at whatever level you'd like to see to require mask use? When and where, or should it be completely voluntary? Call it at 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Let's bring on a caller now. Tony is with us in Madison. Tony, hi.
Hi.
What'd you want to bring up, Tony?
I'm not sure about, I guess I do think we should find some way to enforce the policy, but I was saying that I think a lot of the problem initially came from the fact that a lot of, you know, the messages we were getting were mixed in the beginning, and a lot of people seemed to be trying to play psychologist instead of healthcare professional. We were getting a lot of messages about, you know, we don't need to wear masks. And there was kind of a message about how this might have been because there was so few masks available and they were trying to, like, not, you know, make people panic and go mass buy masks or whatever. But I think there was a lot of a mistake made there where they tried to play psychologist a little bit instead of doing their job and just giving people facts and saying, you know, this is dangerous, could be dangerous, wear a mask, instead of, we don't know, you know, it just seems like there was a little bit of a role playing there by them as a psychologist that really didn't need to be there. I don't know.
Thanks a lot for the call, Tony. And yeah, that change of message, Robert, can you talk about the importance of, I guess, having a clear and consistent message, or when the message changes, as it did with masks, of really explaining why the message changed?
Yeah, I think Tony's right on the money. I think, you know, masks help prevent the spread of the virus. There was a change in March. There was a sense that masks weren't necessary, helpful, might be encourage you to be too reckless with social distancing. It changed in April because of the spread of the virus and the idea that doing something's better than nothing. And it's good for public health authorities to admit when they've made a mistake or a situation has changed. Science is changing. They're continuing to study the effectiveness of masks. The other thing that to me has been helpful, but I wish they had done so earlier, is distinguishing more of when you need to wear masks, indoors versus outdoors, in crowded situations versus non-crowded situations, and also understanding that what you're looking for in a society is 80%, 90% compliance with masking, so that if there is a situation where you can't mask, you have a nasal condition or asthma, it's still consistent with, you know, other people masking in other situations.
We heard from a lot of people on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Dee Dee, for example, says, I wear masks, but only at certain stores. You don't need one if people would maintain 6 feet of distance. The problem is they won't distance unless you make them. You know, without clear guidelines, sometimes it feels like everybody, Rob, is winging it when they go out in public. Is that part of the problem with the lack of consistency we were talking about, that we're all kind of guessing our own certain personal policies?
I think that's true, and there's certainly an element of that. I also think that it's understanding not just distance but time. You know, we're considering reopening or closing our law school, and one of the things that the health people have told us is, if you're exposed for 15 minutes with someone 6 feet or less away from you, you have to start thinking about contact tracing if the person's positive. I think that if you're in a setting where you're going to be someplace for a while, if you're shopping in a store and the store doesn't have good ventilation, masking seems important even if you're more than 6 feet apart. I also think there's something to be said for carrying a mask around. I cycle a lot in Minneapolis. I have the mask around my neck. When I see people, I put the mask on. When I don't see people, I take the mask off. I think there's some common sense, and it's common sense that you want public health authorities and experts to reflect, and I think they're doing a better job of it now. I think that at the height when COVID was really hitting hard in New York and Connecticut, it was hard not to want to do everything. And while people sometimes talk about taking a mask off, mask refusal as a symbol, mask wearing can be a symbol too. You know, a mask doesn't do anything if you're by yourself and there's no one you were going to infect in the first place. If you're indoors in your house, you don't have to wear a mask. I'm not wearing one now. So, you know, I think that it's really important to be level-headed in this so that you can convince people that you might not want to wear the mask, but here are certain situations where it's really going to be helpful and you should do it.
And Rob, I've seen concerns from businesses in Wisconsin and around the country saying they'd like some kind of clear guidance from a local community, because they're trying, you know, the restaurant, the store, whatever, might be trying to have and enforce their own mask requirement. But without that wider policy, it's, you know, they're fighting the battle with those individuals who don't want to wear the mask. Does that ban, or not ban, the mandate to help solve businesses or help solve those problems for businesses?
I think so. I think that it is a huge part of why there's been a move towards mask mandates, in addition to the increase in caseloads. It's a huge problem. You're going to have conflict between mask wearers and non-mask wearers. In fact, you know, some of the there was Johnny Cash's granddaughter who got shamed for wearing a mask when she was in a Walgreens. If she's just doing it because she has to follow the law, then you don't have to say that you're a bit of a wimp because you're wearing a mask. It's, I have to do it. It's what the law says. So, yeah, I think it helps businesses. It helps mask wearers. And in that regard, it's a good thing.
Rob, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Robert Kahn is a professor of law at the University of St. Thomas in Minneapolis. We talked to him about local, state, and maybe federal someday mask requirements. We heard from a lot of you on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Tristan writes, I traveled this weekend and didn't wear a mask. I watched others who did. Funny how often they take it off, put it on, take it off, put it on, etc. Tristan says, provides a false sense of security. Catherine says people don't realize that the longer they complain about not wearing a mask, the longer the economy and life as we wish it will suffer. So share your thoughts again over at the Ideas Network Facebook page.